This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Open your Bibles to the book of Romans and just keep it open there. We'll get to it in a couple of minutes. I've entitled this message this afternoon, When God Discovers Weakness. It's not the kind of message that you really want to hear. When God discovers weakness. But I think it's a message that we all need to hear from time to time, as God, whose eyes, Revelation says, are blazing fire, He searches the hearts of each one of us. And He always has a purpose when He searches our hearts. It's never to make you, to bring you down, but God always has a purpose. In Corinthians, there's a marvelous statement that Paul the apostle makes, and he's speaking on behalf of God when God spoke to his heart in 2 Corinthians. This is what it says: "For my strength is made perfect in weakness," or "my strength is made complete in weakness." This is the apostle Paul. He's writing when he had prayed that God would remove this affliction from him. He prayed three times and God told him that his grace was sufficient for him. And then the Lord spoke to his heart. And this is the apostle Paul saying that God spoke to him and said, "No, my strength is made perfect or complete in weakness." And you go down a couple of verses, that's God's statement, and this is the Apostle Paul's response. And I pray that God would give me the grace to make the same kinds of responses that the Apostle Paul makes. But he'd learned the secret, see? He'd understood exactly what God was talking about when in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." It's man's response to what God has already declared. It's the Apostle Paul coming into an agreement with what God says. God says, "My strength is going to be made complete in your weakness." The Apostle Paul comes back and he says, "For when I am weak then I'm going to be strong." And so we see that this is what he lays out for us to understand. Nobody wants to be known for their weakness. We all want to be known for our strengths. Nobody enjoys knowing their weaknesses. We subconsciously look down on people who maybe are weak. We do our best to always be strong. We train our boys to, when they grow up, and to cry as weak. So suck it up. Be strong. Be a man. Most of us, though, are well acquainted with our strengths, while we all the time avoid those things in our lives that we know are there, but we don't want to deal with them. You push them down. We put them in a closet, hide them away. We don't want to take a look at those areas that are considered weaknesses in the eyes of God. Nolene and I, we do a lot of talking and sharing about where we come from. Our culture is a culture of contradictions. I tell you, the hardest thing in the world is that when you've got these areas that you've been raised in, to walk away from them. And she often reminds me, and she says, "Now remember that our culture doesn't always mean that it's biblical. There's a new culture we're coming into. It's called the Word of God." And it's amazing how many times we'll discuss certain things. We'll say something. Like we were talking the other day, some time back, and someone asked us a question, and I said, "Oh, sure," knowing well, full well, that I didn't mean sure. I actually meant no. But not to offend, I said, "Sure." Then I've got to figure out a way how to go back and say, actually, it's no. I prefer the American way. They just say no. And you go away and say, okay. But see, there's this thing inside of us. And so we were talking about these areas that are considered weaknesses. And it takes the power of God to make some of these changes that are within us, because we think where we come from is pretty godly. But God wants to speak into our heart. The word infirmity can also be translated as weakness. In fact, 17 times, if you take a look at the Greek language, it comes up 17 times as weakness. It also means disease or sickness or the want of strength. Luke chapter 5 verse 15 gives you a good example of how God deals with weaknesses. It says in Luke 5:15, great multitudes came together to be healed by him of their infirmities. They came to hear and to be healed of their infirmities. Now, when you take a look at that word infirmity, it's a conglomerate. It means everything. It means if you could be sick with a disease, it means somebody who could be demon-possessed. It's a sick person, it's a weak person, it could be a frail person, a feeble-minded person, a person going through trials. It can also mean a person who has corrupt desires on the inside of them. And so when Jesus says, when they speak about in Luke 5:15, that great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of their infirmities, it means the whole group. It could be of any situation. It could be of any weakness, or considered a weakness in their body, whether it be sickness, like I said, or feebleness of mind. And so he healed them all, the Bible says. And when I was reading that scripture in my studies this last week, I thought to myself, God, it's amazing. Are you trying to speak to us that all of these miracles that you performed, where you healed all kinds of maladies, all kinds of situations with people, from demon possession to the palsy to feeble-mindedness. God just healed those that were lame in their legs, the blind, the lepers, all these kinds of people. Jesus came and he healed. And as I was reading the scripture in the light of when God discovers weakness, I was praying. I said, God, how come these people get healed? Is it just some kind of magical power or some kind of power force that comes from God that just automatically does this? How do you just automatically heal all these people? And it was like the Holy Spirit said, no, these people are acquainted with their weakness. They know they need help. There's something about them. They're sick. There's something in their body. There's this weakness. There's this area. They know that they need help. They know that they need something greater than themselves to be able to come out of this condition. And so this is how the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, that he was showing us something of a spiritual truth, that if we can recognize areas where we are weak, it's one of the hardest things that we have to deal with. We all have a perception of ourselves. We all have a certain perception of who we are, what we look like, where we're going in life. And this perception sticks to us like Velcro. Just pull it and it comes off, but sticks back on again. It's a perception that we see about ourselves. And yet God must discover these weaknesses if we are to enter into his strength. See, God says, my strength is made complete in weakness. The Apostle Paul says, well, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So we understand that God must discover weaknesses if we are to enter into his great strength. And so he's going to take us on these journeys. These journeys are not always pleasant. These journeys aren't the most favorite ones to go on. But he is going to show us areas in our life that he considers weakness, because the end of our life, the testimony of our lives, is that he wants to demonstrate the life of Christ within us. He is taking a people and making them a supernatural people. And God is raising up a people in this last day, a supernatural congregation of people who will demonstrate the power and the life of God, because there are thousands of people that God wants to bring into the kingdom. There are people on the workplace. There's people where you live in those tenement buildings. There are men and women that you have considered hopeless cases, but God wants to win them. And he's going to do that by raising up men and women where the supernatural power and grace and the life of Jesus Christ is evident. And when those lives are evident before these people, those lives will see that God is in that place. They'll walk by and they say, God is in that apartment. God is in that office. Because they see the supernatural change that God has done in your life. So he's going to go after those areas so that that life can be evident to people round about. Beloved, you've heard us say this 1,000 times from this pulpit. The only Bible many people are going to read is you. They're going to read you, and where God has been able to come and work in your hearts and lives, and that change is evident, they're going to be drawn and attracted to the mighty power of Almighty God. And I believe that with all of my heart. So he's going to discover weaknesses within us. Our testimony of our lives is to reveal Christ. Now for Christ to be revealed in our lives, we must become nothing. It's just that simple transfer. If he's not, he can't be revealed when I'm strong. But when I'm weak, when I'm nothing, then you see Christ. That's the journey. That's where he's going. So we should be celebrating the times when God discovers weakness in us. But we can't. We're too proud. All of us are so proud. We don't want anybody pointing out. In my family, growing up in my family, my children never hesitated to point out something in my life. And it's something that you deal with. You don't always like to see it. You know, if God doesn't discover weaknesses in us so that he can bring us through, you will always, now listen to me, it may not sound profound, but it's a truth. Unless God goes after the weaknesses in my life, if I don't allow him to deal with them, then I'm going to be standing in my own strength to compensate. It's going to be always me to compensate for an area that is considered weak or a struggle or something in my life. I will compensate and I will begin to make my own plans. I'll begin to make my own suggestions. I'll begin to make my own way to deal with this area that is considered a weakness. But if God deals with it, then his glory shines. When God deals with something in our heart and he begins to shine, then he gets all the glory. Now, in Romans chapter 7, we know the story so well. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but in Romans chapter 7, it's Paul's testimony. He's giving you the secret. He's revealing something quite incredible to us. In Romans chapter 7, he says in verse 7, what shall I say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. That means a passion from a desire. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive. There was a time that Paul says, man, I was alive. I was going forward. I was heading out. I got the world by the tail. I'm just going on. Paul says there was a time, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. And so the Apostle Paul is just saying, he goes along, he says, there was a time that I thought I was just doing fine until the word of the Lord came to me and began to reveal an area inside of me. And then suddenly when I saw the word, And it says, thou shalt not covet. It invoked inside of me every kind of thing. I began to see my life as it really was. It was filled with every kind of struggle and battle and things going on. The Apostle Paul goes on to say in verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He says, there's nothing good inside of me. When I looked at the Word, before I looked at the Word, I was doing fine. But then when God came along and began to reveal His Word to me, I suddenly realized, my goodness, there's so many things on the inside of me. He goes on to say, for the good, verse 19, or verse 18, he goes on to say, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. He comes to this revelation. This is his testimony. He's telling you, beloved, exactly how it is. You know, when somebody touches something in your life, it's ugly. It gets so ugly. When someone you don't want to accept it. When somebody touches something in your life, this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says, it got ugly. When I was doing fine before God began to mess with my life. But the moment God began to just, you know, open up his word to me, I suddenly discovered it got ugly down there. The more I looked at his word, the more ugly I got. And beloved, it's, you know, when you're doing good, it's great. We have to, sometimes I think, I'm speaking of myself, sometimes I think when I'm strong, then I can be weak. When I know I'm really strong, well, then I can be humble and I can be weak. But God says, no, when you're weak, when you recognize those areas in you that he's going after, then God says, then I can be strong. And I know that there have been times when somebody in my family would just touch an area inside of me and you become so defensive. That area of weakness. Oh, no, no, that was a mistake. Not a sin, never. No, I'd never hurt anybody. And we begin to justify it. Have you ever done that in your life? Somebody's touching something and all the time they're touching it, you're justifying yourself. No, 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 not me. No, no, no. I didn't mean that. Maybe you've been caught out telling a lie. Oh, it was a mistake. Or you stole something from the office. Oh, I forgot to return it. Oh, I didn't add up my taxes correctly. You know, oh, it's a slight mistake. See, these things come up and God is going at them. He says, I want to be glorified in you. I want to work in your life. You see, beloved, in my heart, I know that God wants to take every one of you and allow that supernatural life of Christ to be evident in your life. This is who he's raising up. But he has to go after those areas for him to be glorified. And every area that he touches in your life and he deals with and you allow God to override and to become greater in you than that situation, you'll begin to see that his glory begins to shine wherever you go. The Proverbs say it this way, 28:13, he that covers his sins shall not prosper. So when God puts his finger on something, don't cover it. Don't hide from it. No matter how difficult it is when you're in the face of your own weakness, when you suddenly realize, I can't do this. You're actually in the point, and I'm going to show you in the life of another individual in the Old Testament, that when God is touching something in your life, there is a supernatural work that is taking place. We don't like that action. We don't like what he's doing. There are times we don't like God touching these situations in our hearts and life. But God must allow famines and dry times and difficult times to come into our lives to discover these areas of weakness. It is in the heart of God that your life should be a testimony of him. He's got that fixed in his mind. The day he saved you, God has it in mind that your life be this testimony of God in the world. That's what he has in mind. He wants your life to stand out as a light in a dark place. This is the calling of God. This is what he has in mind. And so when he wants to bring you to that place, he will allow a famine to come in. We must be brought to the place of seeing weaknesses, dry times. We hate them, but they're God's tools. We don't like them because they speak to us about areas that are being exposed. Nobody likes to have something exposed in their life. I've given God, in my lifetime, I'm going to be 55 this year, getting up to the speed limit. I can hardly wait till I get 65. But in my 55 years, I've given him lots of opportunity to use the tools of different times and seasons to reveal areas in my heart. We don't like them because we don't like them to be exposed. We don't like them because we feel embarrassed. We always want people to see something different about us. It's our perception. But God's perception is what counts. It's what God sees. And he sees your life as something that of a vessel in a darkened world that he wants to display his glory in. Beloved, if you can see that this afternoon, God has got you as an individual and he wants to display his glory through your life. He wants to display his saving grace through your life. He wants you to be that light in that darkened place. But in order to do that, he's got to allow these dry times and these difficult times to come in so that they can be exposed, that he can get the glory. Hosea 2:14. Behold, I will allure her or draw her into the wilderness and there speak friendly or as a friend unto her. We see the pattern throughout all the Old Testament. God would allow his people to go into these areas of time and it reveals the heart. It reveals the things that are deep down inside there, those ugly things that God wants to deal with. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Let me show you in Genesis chapter 12, we see this incredible word that he gives to Abraham, or Abram at the time, and he says in verse 1, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto land that I will show thee. I will show it to you. Verse 2, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. So here we've got this man that God calls and gives him the end result. You see, in this verse, God is saying, he's showing Abram the end result of what he's going to be doing. He said, this is the testimony that you're going to have to all the families of the earth. You're going to be a man of faith. You're going to be a person who's going to stand in my strength. You're going to be a person who's going to believe me. And so we see this the power of what God speaks. See, God sees from the beginning right through to the end. And so he's showing Abram exactly what his life is going to end up being. This is what I have for you. This is what I see for you. That you'll be a blessing. You're going to show forth my glory. We don't even get out of chapter 12. And in verse 10, we see a famine. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. And the famine was grievous in the land. And he goes down into Egypt. And it says, so when he gets down there, now here is this person that God says, I'm going to bless the families of the earth through you. And so when he gets down there, here comes this, in this time of famine, God is going to reveal this area of weakness in Abram. And as God needs to deal with it right here in his life, because there is a time in Abram's life where he is going to display the glory of Christ. He's going to show it out. But God knows that if he doesn't deal with this area now, when he gets to this place in time, he will capitulate. He wouldn't be able to stand. So God's got to deal with him. In verse 11 it says, and it came to pass when he came near into Egypt that he said unto Sarah his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians see thee. Remember I said to you that when there's an area of weakness, it's down there. God has to deal with it. But if you don't let God deal with it, you'll always begin to make plans out of your own mind. You'll begin to make plans out of your own strength. You'll begin to compensate for things because you are now in this situation. There's no way getting out. If you heard the message this morning, on the wrong side of the battle, I tell you, you got to get that message this morning. What an incredible word. And so we don't want to be found on the wrong side of the battle. But here we have this individual, this area in his life, and now he's making his own decisions. He's beginning to put his own understanding into the matter. So he says to Sarah, his wife, and the Egyptians shall come and they shall say, this is his wife, and they shall kill me. Now God has just told him, I'm going to give you this walk and I'm going to make this, do these incredible promises in your life. But now we're not even out of chapter 12 and he's talking about they're going to kill me. It's an area that is of fear, and so God has to deal with it to bring him into that place of faith in God. And so he deals with it. So he says, you say that you're my sister, and then they'll save me alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, that my soul shall live because of thee. And so this is his plan. Beloved, this is what we always like. When God touches an area of weakness, he'll put us into a situation where that weakness will become so glaring. And it's ugly. It's never pleasant. It's never nice to take a look at those areas. But God knows that if you're going to be that testimony, he's going to deal with it early in your heart and your life. And so we see him touch Abram. Now, I got to tell you that while God is dealing with us, and this is some of the good news of the gospel, that when God is dealing with your heart in any area, whether it be just a frailty or it might be thoughts or it might be, you know, something that you're stumbling over, whatever it is, when God is dealing with something in your life, we might be vulnerable to God, but he's going to make sure the enemy doesn't get a hold of you. God will always go after the enemy. So while Abram is in this place and God is going to be speaking to his heart, God begins to deal with the enemy. He begins to bring one plague after another plague after another plague on Pharaoh. Beloved, I got to tell you, whenever God is at work in your life, and he is showing something in your heart, and he wants to bring his glory into your being. You got to understand that whenever God is doing a work, he is also keeping the enemy at bay. He's always keeping the devil out of that work. God won't allow the enemy to overcome you. Never one time will the enemy overcome you if God is at work in your heart. And you are saying, Lord, do this work inside of me. Do it, God. I tell you, the moment you say, yes, Lord, God puts his hand out and he begins to resist the enemy on your behalf. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he'll do that for you, beloved. Weakness is discovered in Abram. Now, quickly go with me. I want to bring this to a close. Go with me to chapter 22 of Genesis. Now comes the power of God's testimony for this man. You see, God knows so much. He knows the beginning from the end, or the end from the beginning. He knows all things. And so with this man, he knows, I've got to touch this area in his life, because there's coming a time when Isaac is born, and we know the story well. I'm not going to go into details with you on it, but here he is, and God is going to ask him to do something of the most incredible nature. He comes to me in chapter 22 and he says in verse 2, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. Now you see, beloved, if God hadn't touched Abram way back in the beginning and dealt with him in that area of fear, in that area where he took a hold of fear rather than faith, if God hadn't dealt with him back there, he would have probably come to this portion of time in his life and he said, well, you know, God doesn't exactly mean put my son on the altar. It's got to be a spiritual significance. You see, we start to reason with God when God says, this is the way, walk ye in it. If we don't like it, if we haven't been dealt with, then we begin to reason in our mind. Abram could have reasoned with God like he did back in Egypt. He could have reasoned, well, God doesn't mean exactly take my son and kill my son. It can't mean that exactly. But no, God has dealt with him. God has dealt with his heart and his life. He takes his son and puts him on the altar. And as the knife comes up in verse 10, and he stretches forth the knife to slay his son. In his heart, Abram is so convinced at this point in time, because God has worked in his life. He is so convinced at this time that God is able to raise the dead. God knows what he's doing, beloved. And so this knife is coming down. That's when the angel stops him and says, Abram. And he says, here I am. And he said in verse 12, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So the angel comes and says, Abram, God knows that you now fear him. Well, how does God know that? Well, he knows it from back there when he began to deal with that situation. When he began to touch you and you yielded and that thing was discovered inside of you and you allowed God to be glorified in your life. You see, the time came when God wanted a display of the very life of Christ. And it goes on to say here in verse 14, and Abraham called the name of this place Jehovah Jireh. He'd come to the place of knowledge that God was the God who provides everything that you have need of in your life. There is nothing in life that God doesn't have for you, beloved. Every strength that you need in your lifetime is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he comes to that mount and he's able to stand before there. And the angel says, I know that you fear God. How? How did you know that this day would come? Because I dealt with you there. God knew that as he dealt with him and would touch those weaknesses, that there would be the provision of God. And he stands and he says, this is Jehovah Jireh. And then he speaks, I think, in the Old Testament, one of the greatest prophetic words when he says in verse 14 after, it says, Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. He was talking about Mount Calvary. In the mount, you shall see the provision of God. There's a day coming. You see, beloved, the end of Abram's life as he's journeying on, there's this magnificent display of Christ. He already sees that on this mount, you shall see the provision of God. He's already seeing Calvary thousands of years into the future. And this life of Abram became one where God was glorified within him. Hallelujah. Amen, beloved. If God touches us in those weaknesses, it's not because he wants to press you down, but he wants to be glorified in your life. Give him thanks this afternoon. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I come before you. We don't like to be touched in areas of weakness. It's such a hard thing. But you see that it's needful. Because you want to be glorified. You want our lives to be a testimony of the grace of Jesus Christ to this world. Hallelujah. I pray this afternoon, Lord, for every person that is going through a trial. They're in a wilderness. They are in a place where maybe fear is gripping their heart. Lord, I pray for them. They might be thinking, God, where are you right now? I pray for every person who's in the struggle of their life. And God showed me that there's people here that God has been speaking to you about a situation, but you've stuck it in the closet. I saw it so clearly. You've stuck it in the closet, but he's bringing it back to you. You see, God remembers, and he's bringing it back to you. It's not to harm you. If you can understand today, it's not to harm you. It's not to expose you to shame, but it's to release you that Christ might be glorified in your life. Father, I ask that you do this now. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Beloved, please stand with me. If God has spoken to your heart, you're in a dry time and you've been battling and say, God, you know that this weakness has been revealed. When God discovers weakness, it's for the purpose of bringing strength. I want to stand with you at this altar today and pray with you that God would. And you know, I've got to be careful not to pray that the struggle will end, but that through the struggle, God would be glorified. God has been speaking to your heart. Just get out of your seats from the balcony. Just come to either side of the exits. Come down to this altar this afternoon. I'm going to stand with you and I'm going to pray with you. Let's worship the Lord and then we'll pray together. The scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, this is a verse that I felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to give to you for those who came to the altar. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. So even though Jesus was crucified in absolute weakness, couldn't even carry his cross the full distance, but yet The Bible says he liveth, which means the vivifying power or the quickening power of God was his portion. Yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God. Hallelujah. Beloved, God has an awesome, if you're feeling weakened, Christ was weakened before you. If you're feeling down, it was Jesus has gone through that whole valley for you. And as he was raised by the power of God, the very fact that you've come to just express to the Lord today, God, there's areas in my life that you need to touch. He's giving you a promise. The very fact that you've recognized that he's number one, fighting your enemies. And number two, he's going to raise up the Son of Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God within you in power and strength. Amen. Father, I thank you this afternoon that you are working in every single one of us. Lord, it's never fun, as we've already said, when you put your finger on something in our life. But the end result is glorious. Lord, the end result is something to behold because you are freeing your people to truly live for you. And that God, that out of this, these at this altar this day, you're raising up men and women. Lord, I don't want to even pray them out of this valley. I don't even want to pray them away from the struggle because it's you who's revealing it. It's you who is showing the area, and only so that you can come back and absolutely raise them up in your strength. Now, Father, I do pray for them that they would go from this place of a great assurance. Even though I'm weak now, Jesus is being strong inside of me. When I am weak, then he is strong. Hallelujah. And God, we leave today knowing that the strength of Christ is our portion. Hallelujah. Lord, the devil will not have a show in. He cannot come against God's people. I believe that the moment we lay hold of you, you put your hand up and stop the enemy right in his tracks. Glory to God. Now, Father, bless your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen.
This is the conclusion of the message.